What's going on, guys? Welcome to Debater Fans, and today is a solo podcast with me, AJ, Ram Ambassador, JJ, and DJ. Are not in the picture or studio today, but that's okay, because you know why? I love sports. Every weekend, every day, there's something crazy, there's something new. It's just never-ending soap opera, and I absolutely love it. Whether you're baseball, with your hockey, with your football, basketball, every sport, there's always something juicy. When God gives you lemons, when the lemon falls from the tree, make lemonade or put on some tacos. Because you know what? Who doesn't like a taco? Or put in a beer. Who doesn't like a beer with a lemon? Especially Eli Manning. I know he likes his lemons, but there's a lot of topics to talk about. We got baseball with Otani. We got basketball with the Lakers and Draymond. And we got NFL with Patrick Mahomes, from Bill to Cam to DK. We have a lot of stuff to talk about, okay? But let's first start off with baseball. That's the one topic. Breaking news: Shohei Ohtani signs with the LA Dodgers. My LA Dodgers. I don't own it. I wish I did. But my team, LA Dodgers. Thank you, everyone. Thank you. Thank you. We did it. Shohei Ohtani. Obviously, everyone by this time, everyone knows that Shohei Ohtani signed a 10-year, $700 million contract with the Los Angeles Dodgers. At first, everyone was like bananas, because everyone saw the $700 million contract. I think the second place is Mike Trout with $420-ish million. So the amount of money is ridiculous. But then later found out that $68 million of that is deferred to be paid after his contract. And a lot of people were questioning that. First of all, people were saying MLB should cancel this contract, or owners should vote to veto this contract. I'm not too familiar with the rules of MLB. I'm just the average Joe who loves Dodgers because I grew up watching baseball, going to stadiums, correct? Right? But it is a thing in MLB where teams can defer contracts. I think something with the Yankees, something with Kenny Griffith Jr., they did this. It's not something new. It just sounds crazy that we got Ohtani for basically a 10-year, $20 million contract, if you think about it. It's just ridiculous how that was able to come up. But the thing that, and then people start coming up saying like, oh, if Ohtani would have understand economics, he should have known that his $680 million would be worth 20% less, because obviously inflation and tomato. Listen. Do you guys honestly think that Ohtani's agent will be that stupid to let something that major slip up in the contract, that, oh yeah, just make it $700 million and defer it 10 years after his contract ends, and $680 million will still be guaranteed or whatever? You guys honestly think that Ohtani's agent is just going to totally miss that? Totally ignore that? I don't think so. I absolutely do not 100% think that that is even a slight possibility that Ohtani Ohtani's contract will not account for inflation or some other adjustment. But then again, there was a report that if Ohtani was to get paid his 10-year, $70 million contract per year, you know, $700 million divided by 10, $70 million a year, because we live in the big old, big bear state of California, Ohtani's $70 million, after taxes, he'll be taking home $34.7 million. That's like 51%, 52%. 51 to above 50% gone to taxes. Say what you want to say. Say what you guys want to say or be ignorant. But it makes kind of sense why he had to, I will defer my that massive contract to save on taxes. Who wants to pay taxes? I know former presidents don't pay taxes. I know big corporations, Jeff Bezos, Amazon, Elon Musk, they don't pay taxes. And these are billionaires. So why wouldn't a player an athlete take advantage of that? I would. If I was in his shoes, if my agent came up to me like, hey, you know, we're going, Dodgers are offering you $70 million, but we have to defer it because if they pay you yearly, then you're going to pay a lot of taxes. How much? 50% is gone. So you're really only signing 10 years, $350 million. Yeah, let's push the money. Let's push the money. And also, there's a lot of speculation that the reason why Ohtani was very adamant about pushing this, deferring this money later, is because he is strongly encouraging the Dodgers to sign his buddy from Japan, the pitcher, I believe it's Yamamoto, when they won the World Series in Japan. Now, there's a lot of videos out there of Yamamoto pitching. I'm sorry if I'm butchering your name, but his pitching sounds like a bullet leaving from his hand. It is just crazy how fast this guy's. And someone's saying like, are you forcing it? Are you trying to throw? He's like, oh no, I'm just warming up. That's ridiculous. That's actually like absolutely ridiculous that he's just warming up and it sounds like a bullet flying off his hand. So if we got Ohtani and then we can get Yamamoto, and there's a lot of speculations that Yamamoto wants to play with another Japanese teammate. I mean, it kind of fits everything. It makes too much sense, right? It makes just too much sense. Now, I am very biased because I am a fan of this team. And am I upset? Absolutely not. But if I was the other teams, like the Diamondbacks, oh man, I would not like to be any other team, especially in New York Giants. And there's a lot of reports coming out that New York Giants offer something very similar to Ohtani, borderline identical to Ohtani for a $700 million contract. And it came down ultimately to Ohtani: where do you want to play? Where do you want to live? Southern California is pretty nice. I'm not going to lie. Southern California is pretty nice. And Ohtani made the right choice. So welcome to LA Dodgers, Ohtani, and future pitcher, knocking on wood, Yamamoto. Thank you. Thank you. Welcome. Welcome, guys. Welcome. So that was baseball. And obviously, I believe free agency is starting because baseball season, man, it's almost 2024 in like 2 weeks. Wow. Time really flies, and baseball season just feels like it just ended. Now it feels like we're about to enter spring training in a couple months. Wow, time really flies. Enjoy every single moment as if it was your last. But that is it for baseball. Let's transition a little to basketball. Congratulations to the Lakers for winning the in-season tournament against the Indiana Pacers. A very, you know, a very dominant performance by Anthony Davis, as he should. LeBron James still doing that year 21. Father Time undefeated. We will see when that he is undefeated. But so far, LeBron James is the only one taking that guy on one-on-one. A lot of people were saying that they should hang the banner for this in-season tournament. Now, I didn't get a chance to see this in-season tournament that much and too much into detail, but from what I seen from all the sports newscasting TV shows, from First Take, ESPN, TNT, it was a massive success, and it definitely brought a lot more energy into the games, because obviously everyone knows, especially we got a little too used to load management. And not to say that one player caused it, but we got a little too comfortable, a little too used to players not taking these games a little too serious. A little more, they should have been a lot more urgent. But with this in-season tournament, it promoted a lot of internal competition with these guys, especially like if the elites are taking it serious, then it'll promote everyone to take it more serious, especially the Indiana Pacers with that player, Tyrese Haliburton. And I've heard of him before he even became, the spotlight of the in-season tournament going up against the top teams. I believe he was drafted with the Kings, and when he got the contract, everyone made fun of that contract. Like, everyone made fun of him or the Pacers for blowing up that much money and to a guy that's unproven, not really developed, not really earning nothing. But the man showed that he's worth that contract, every single penny. Is his shooting, is his stroke the best? Not really. It kind of sucks, but nevertheless, he has a bright future, especially with Miles Turner also in the center. I like the Pacers. I mean, who doesn't want to show the world, like, hey, it's not just the big markets that are out there. You know, the Pelicans, I like Zion. I like Ingram. You know, they're good. Now, are there people who are hypocritical because they want to see the best of the best in their peak condition? Of course. But nevertheless, they did get blown up by the Lakers. I wish it was a more tough battle, but it was a blowout. I wish Zion and LeBron or AD would have been like one-on-one, but it is what it is. I hope Zion can get his mojo and see, you know, become the player that he could become. Who knows? Maybe if he somehow ends up in New York Knicks, you know, maybe he'll get his act straight. But then the New York media is ruthless. Ruthless. I mean, one of them lives in New York, Stephen A. Smith, who wants to see the best Zion, but who knows if we'll ever get it, right? But congratulations to the Lakers for winning the first ever in-season tournament. And I'm already hearing the amount of bullshit GOAT debates where, like, people are saying, how many in-season tournaments does Michael Jordan have? Well, zero. And how many in-season tournaments championships LeBron has? One. GOAT debate over. And in my mind, I'm like, you guys do understand, you got that the NBA had to make this in-season tournament because it was lacking viewership, because NFL is better. Hockey is better during these times. This wasn't made to add fuel to the fire for debates, for the GOAT debate. Just ask Stephen A. Smith, do you think LeBron is the GOAT with this in-season tournament championship under his belt? Hell no. Is it like the cherry on top? Sure. But what's a good cherry on top if you don't have the good ice cream? If you don't have that, you know, peppermint ice cream. I like peppermint. I'm not going to lie. I like peppermint ice cream. The smokers or the Reese's. An old-fashioned vanilla bean ice cream. This does not change the GOAT debate. So all the LeBron fans, and like, you know who we're talking about, Shannon Sharp, this doesn't move anything. But congratulations to the Lakers, and I think they're going to hoist the banner, so that'll be fun. But let's transition to the spotlight of last night. Draymond Green literally doing a WWE 360 side slap, side punch to Nurkic against the Suns. Now, and obviously Draymond Green got ejected. Okay, we all know everything. So everyone's saying, how many games is Draymond Green going to get suspended? Let me start off right there. How many games is Draymond Green going to get suspended? Me, personally, when he first chokehold Rudy Gobert, I felt that 15 games was necessary because the act was so egregious. The notion of chokeholding someone is already bad enough, and then people are going to find some slight way to say, oh, he came to the rescue of Clay, he was being a good teammate. Like, bullshit. And people are saying, like, oh, Rudy shouldn't go for Clay. Rudy should have just gone for his teammate instead of going for Clay. Bullshit too. Okay? There's no fucking excuse for Draymond to put, for anyone to put someone else in a chokehold. Literally, the definition of that move is called a chokehold. You're choking someone and you're holding them. holding and choking, chokehold. So it makes no sense why Draymond didn't get 15 games, but they got 10. He got 10. Now this happened. It happened literally out of the blue. It literally happened in 0.00001 second, supposedly. And this is, and I love how Draymond always tries to make it like, oh, it was a pat, it was somehow basketball related. Now, people who know Draymond say that his IQ is through the roof. He is very genuine. Like, he is so true and true to himself. Oh, we have breaking news. Draymond Green. Let's see. Draymond Green suspended. No, I'm sorry. NBA suspending Draymond Green indefinitely after Tuesday's ejection per Woj. So is he saying that for the remainder of the season, the NBA is suspending Draymond Green indefinitely? I guess it's for the whole season. They are suspending Draymond Green indefinitely for the whole season. I'm assuming it, the whole season. As they freaking should. Now, they kind of beat me to the punchline. 25 games should have been the minimum. The act alone. Like, really, man? Like, really? Out of the blue? Like, so you're saying, like, no tugging and no, like, you can't even be body on body? Like Charles Barkley said, before Draymond says, I have to defend myself. And everyone says the Golden State Warriors, the reason why they won so many was because Draymond was the glue. Well, this glue is cracking, is not sustainable. Keep in mind, this guy also punched a teammate. This guy stomped on Sabonis' chest. This guy kicked so many guys in the groin. Steven Adams, LeBron James. I don't care what you say. This Draymond Green's a dirty player. There's just no... You know how back in the day when DeMarcus Cousins was always targeted by the... Or he was seen like the bad guy in the league. A quote-unquote dirty player or bad player. Draymond Green's not that guy. And there's a saying that says, when production is high, people are willing to tolerate a lot. Your production is not there, and I don't know how the Warriors can keep tolerating this. I really don't know how they can keep tolerating this. And for me, I just think that the suspension of it indefinitely is warranted and appropriate. Because it just is sending a message that no one is above the law. No one's above the law. Especially Draymond Green. I feel like that was the hiccup that I feel like Draymond Green has always felt like he's somehow above the law, or his actions are always justified. No. I do not believe so. I do not think so. And clearly neither does the NBA. So are the Warriors going to do a fire sale? Because, you know, not to change topics too quickly, but, you know, a little Easter egg, or not Easter egg, a little side of candy of the table. Warriors Klay Thompson's future with the Warriors is uncertain. Will they train before the trade deadline? Who knows? Klay's future with the Warriors in question. And this is per Shams. And it looks like Klay Thompson was offered a 2-year, $48 million contract extension before the season started, but not as the season has gone. Now there's no deal. So I think this is it. The Warriors dynasty as we knew it has came to a close. And a lot of people are questioning Steph Curry's leadership. And Stephen A. put it really well. If this was happening with LeBron and Kyrie, a lot of people will put this on LeBron. If Kevin Love was acting up, they'll go to LeBron. Like, you can't control your teammates. You can't get to them. Then you're not a good leader and stuff like that. I think Stephen A. makes a good point. We need to take a look at Steph Curry. Has Steph Curry been too lenient? Has been too mellow? That is a debate for another day. But Draymond Green suspended indefinitely until season, or until like we're done, or oh man. And it sucks because, you know, as sports fans, we want to see all these players, but no one should be acting like a freaking crazy person ready to swing anyone when they feel entangled, or it was so impulsive. It was so out of the blue. It almost makes you feel like he might have some like big perk. He had to go through anger management to clear his suspension. Maybe Draymond has to go through that. I don't know. I'm not saying that, but maybe. I don't know. But that's enough basketball, because we got to talk about the NFL now. Man, oh man, where do I start? Okay. Let's start off with Sunday first. Let's start off Sunday. And mostly and only the game scenario or outburst that happened was when the Chiefs lost to the Bills. And that outburst of Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. Let's talk about Patrick Mahomes first. As you guys know by now, Patrick Mahomes went on a rant. You know, another game, we're talking about the refs. It's not what we want for the NFL or the football. Yeah, usually I get a warning before something like that happens. It's a bit embarrassing for the National Football League for that to take place. Kadarius Toney said, refs had it out for us tonight, huh? Okay. At this point, everyone knows that everyone has heard from news, from ESPN, from every single sports show. Normally, you don't get a warning. According to Shannon Sharp and Ocho Cinco, like if you're next to a referee and you raise his hand to a ref, you're like, hey, back up a little or move a little forward. That's the little warning. But Kadarius Toney was straight up in offsides. He was in the line. The ref couldn't see it. So I like that this was clear and obvious that this was offsides. It's not a pass interference thrown by a deep ball. It's not a quote unquote lay hit out of bounds, right? This is clear as day. And what does Patrick Mahomes do? And Andy Reid, they go after the NFL. They go after the referees. Patrick Mahomes had to be, quote unquote, be held back by his teammates because he was so furious at the side judge. What was he going to do if, let's just hypothetically say, the judge, if his teammates did not stop Patrick Mahomes from getting to the referee, the side judge, what do you think Patrick Mahomes would have done? He'd have been all over his face. He'd be screaming at the top of his lungs, and the referee would have thrown a yellow flag, most likely, and like unsportsmanlike conduct, and number, I don't even know what Patrick Mahomes' number is right now, and like number Patrick Mahomes ejected from the game. Doesn't really matter because the game's already over, right? And then he goes up to Josh Allen instead of saying good game or like, hey, we'll talk later, or like, hey, good fought battle. He says, worst fucking call ever. Worst fucking call ever to Josh Allen. Josh Allen was like, okay. Or like, what can he say? What is he supposed to do? Like, it's not the worst call. It is. And people say ticky-tacky. It's not ticky-tacky. this was so... Now, I don't want to go to this rabbit hole, but it's similar. There was a lot of beef going on to Jackson Mahomes, I think Patrick Mahomes' little brother, about the stuff that he was doing on the field, dancing off the field with disrespecting businesses and doing outbursts, right? And a lot of people said that Jackson was spoiled, he's ignorant, he's stubborn, he's selfish, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, right? But this is the first time that we see Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, especially more Patrick Mahomes. This is the first time I see Patrick Mahomes being selfish and petty. That something didn't go his way and he threw the biggest outburst and biggest kicking and screaming ever. And there's always, as sports fans, we already know that there's a narrative that the NFL, the script, will always try to protect the Chiefs. They'll somehow try to save the Chiefs in any way, shape, and form. With the Jets game, with now this game. Now listen to Chris Mad Dog Russo. Chris Mad Dog from SiriusXM, from the Instagram. Watch this. Here, listen to this.
Can anybody sit there in the Kansas City side of things who gets every call known to man? And albeit last week they got hurt with the pass interference, did they forget about the Jet game when in fact they won that game on the pass interference that shouldn't have been called? Or the Green Bay game last week when they got the knock out of bounds, which gave them 15 yards before the pass interference that wasn't called? Kansas City, that has gotten every call in the history of football, and then Reed says, you know what, the NFL should be embarrassed the last couple weeks. Nonsense. You should be embarrassed, and so should Mahomes for that kind of behavior and that kind of whining and moaning and groaning after you got beat fair and square by the Bills.
Couldn't say it better myself. Absolutely, cannot say it better myself. I mean, this is exactly what. Sorry for the little background noise. Exactly what we're talking about. The Chiefs have gone every single play that's borderline 50-50 in their favor, but this is not borderline 50-50. This is straight to the point. You were offsides, therefore, it's a flag. Do not come to us and say this is a disgrace to the NFL and another game, another day that we're talking about the NFL and the refs. No. Take accountability. How about go after Tony? Stop protecting your freaking wide receivers. Instead of taking this frustration out on the refs, go behind closed doors. Say call instead of calling a players only meeting, call an only wide receivers meeting. Anyone who could be a potential wide receiver, call a meeting and scream at the top of your lungs like, I'm effing tired of your shit. I'm so tired. What can I do? I really don't. And the Chiefs are like, what are we going to do? Are we going to cut Kadarius Toney? Are we going to let him go? Yeah, Ryan, who are you going to bring in? There we go. Eagles already have Julio Jones. You guys didn't go get DeAndre Hopkins. So we will see what happens. But yeah, it was just and I love the memes of Herman the Frog freaking out and GIFs in the comments. It was just like spot on. But everyone was calling the baby, the spoiled baby out of the NFL. Because it's true. The one play that is not in your favor because it's actually a foul. And you throw a fit. The spoiled baby. The baby. Not the baby. The NFL's baby. And especially towards the end, it looks like he was going to cry or something like that. Who knows, right? Who knows what's going to happen. But that's enough. Patrick Mahomes. Now let's get into some allegedly news, fake news that... with the Patriots, allegedly that after the Germany game, the Patriots knew they were going to move on from Bill Belichick at the end of the season. Now, supposedly, allegedly, that is fake. That's not true. And according to Boston Connor from Pat McAfee show, he ain't believing jack shit until it comes out of the mouth of Robert Kraft or Bill Belichick. And obviously Bill saying, I'm focusing on Kansas City this week. So he's not talking about his future. And this is like an insider for the NFL, for the Patriots. He's been like right 75. I think what they say, like he's right a lot, but he misses a lot too. Kind of like Trayvon Diggs, like he had leading the league in interceptions, but he was also allowing the most yards after him. High risk, high reward. I think it's kind of the writing on the wall that, hey, I think it's time to move on from Bill. And that is nothing bad. I think is he a cornerstone? I mean, he is one of the pillars, right? It's Tom, it's Bill, and then there's obviously the ceiling of Robert Kraft, right? But it's kind of hard to see Bill Belichick at anywhere else, right? And I still think he's going to coach, right? But Robert Kraft believes it's, I think the time, I think as sports fans, it's time for Bill Belichick to move on, and I think it'll be time to move on. Now, whether the reports are fake, not fake, look, I'm not here to say this guy's lying, this guy's not, doesn't know what he's talking about, but clearly the experiment with Mac Jones has failed. Clearly his experiment of like, I'm better at everyone because I'm playing chess while everyone else is playing checkers did not work. Clearly, instead of having a dedicated OC, he makes the special teams and the defensive coordinator try to help Mac Jones. Somehow being two head coaches at some point is equivalent to one dedicated offensive minded, and clearly didn't work. But we will see in the future. But if I was a betting man, but I can't bet because I live in California, I'll say the Patriots and Bill Belichick will move on. And that just it's a time for a refresh. Time to refresh. So that is that. Is it fake news? We'll see. But, you know, something very slightly. We all saw the DK outburst that happened with the Seahawks versus the 49ers. And I guess, you know, Kyle Shanahan had reportedly promised a Christmas present to the 49ers who can get under DK Metcalf's skin. And obviously Fred Warner won that. Even though the number two for the Niners got ejected for that late shove, as he should be defending his teammate, which is kind of funny though. But Fred Warner, you know, right there face to face with him. And today, if you go to DK Metcalf has unfollowed Seahawks on Instagram. What does this mean? I don't know. Does it mean he wants out? I don't know. Did he get a contract? Let me see really quick. Let me do our... I'm the IT guy. I'm everything today. DK Metcalf contract. Let's see if he signed a contract with the Seahawks. DK Metcalf signed a 3-year, $72 million contract with the Seahawks, including a 30-minute signing bonus. When did he sign that? In 2022, last year. So he will be a free agent. Oh, no, he signed it this year, 2023. So he'll be a free agent in 2026. Unrestricted free agent, 2026. Yeah, so what? Okay, DK, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You know, this is a new age where if you're unpleased with your team, you won't follow them. That's sending the very most clear picture. But what does this resolve? You went up against a 49ers squad that is borderline dynasty empire from head to toe, from head coach, GM, to offense, to defense, to special teams, to everything. You don't think they're going to get under your skin? You don't think as a division rivals, you don't think they're going to know, hey, if we can get DK under his skin, he will lose and start losing character. You don't think they know that? Of course they do. And right now, their plan is working even better because now you're going up, you are turning against your own team. So I think it'll get resolved. I think it always gets resolved. But that is just some funny news happening right now with DK and the Sixers, which is all better for me because, you know, as a Rams fan, we don't really ever have problems with the Seahawks, knocking on wood. But one less deep threat to worry about, the better for us. But let's see. What else happened? That was DK. I want to save this topic for a little later, but let's really quick talk about NFL game coming to Brazil, which is very exciting. A Brazil game in next season, 2024. That's going to be fun. I hope a lot of players who are... I'll just say this. Brazil has a lot of beautiful women. And I'm going to leave it at that. A lot of but. A lot of Brazilian BBLs. Yeah, a lot of BBLs over there. Literally Brazil. So, I'm going to leave it at that. But it's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting to obviously introduce NFL to the whole league. The whole world. I know this year Germany was a huge success, especially from the year we got prior. Now Brazil going down to South America. Hey, man, I love it. They should go back to Mexico. I'm not sure why they just stopped playing in Mexico. Maybe it was because of bloody lasers. See, we can never have nice things. We try to do nice things and then people ruin it for us. But yeah, NFL having a game in Brazil will be cool to watch. What game, what team, who knows, but... And what time too, you know? Because the problem with the Germany games were like, the games were like at 6 in the morning in Pacific Standard Time. So couldn't really have to wake up extra early to watch those games if I wanted to. And just for fun facts, since we're briefly talking about Patrick Mahomes, Sam Howell has scored more fantasy points than Patrick Mahomes this season. Sam Howell has scored 236.9. Patrick Mahomes has scored 235.82. Now, is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? But, I mean, this just proves that if you don't have wide receivers, you can do papas. So, let's talk about state of the Raiders. Okay. Raider ambassador is not here, clearly. Unfortunately, did not get to see the game, but basically the last drive of the Raiders, they had the okay. This is the first, I think it's something like since 1970, the first time a scoreless first half happened since 1970 in the NFL, and the game was 1-3-0 against. The game was decided by a field goal in the late minutes in the fourth quarter by the Vikings. The Raiders had a chance to come back and kick another field goal of their own, but Aidan O'Connell struck again with another late game interception, and bada bim, bada boom. That's how the turkeys goggled. And I think for me, someone on the comments said, we all like the little Cinderella story about obviously Josh McDaniels being let go, Jimmy G getting benched, O'Connell stepping in and, you know, having this good camaraderie with the team because new fresh, new face, new energy, new voice. But this commenter said, like, he loves his Raiders. He loved the idea of O'Connell coming in, but it's time to bring back Jimmy G. And Raider Ambassador is not here to say his case, but I do not disagree with that assessment of bringing back Jimmy G. Now, is the season over for the Raiders? Let's see. The Las Vegas Raiders are 5-8. Let's do a real quick. AFC standings. the American Football Conference. Raiders are at bottom of their conference with 5-8, when the Chargers are tied with them. Chargers are lost Justin Herbert. So, in theory, the Raiders should be able to be a quarterback-less Chargers team with the worst defense in the league, with a coach that's being borderline ready to get fired. But the Raiders, I don't know. I always thought that it was Derek Carr that was being the poo-poo. But now with this situation, you know, I like their interim head coach because he, you know, he was born a Raider fan from Oakland, I believe, from Northern California. So he rooted for the Raiders. So it made perfect sense. Everything was making perfect sense. But I even think I heard that he called a timeout right before like the 2-minute warning. Now, was that a good play or a bad call? I'm not sure, but apparently it was a bad call. And to lose to and then the Vikings didn't have Justin Jefferson because he got hurt in his back in the first like couple drives. And then for Joshua Dobbs to be benched, and then I think Mullins to step in. I mean, I'm not saying that Mullins did anything better than Dobbs, but he got him down the field. And I don't know how to think about the Raiders. I'm not sure if they're mathematically out yet, but can they make a splash? Sure. For a wild card spot. And I think it's just going to come down to now Mark Davis again to see what he wants to do. But that is the state of the Raiders. State of the Rams. We almost had the Ravens in overtime, but unfortunately, that special teams return. But we had them. We were going blow for blow. Puka, OBJ, Kyren Williams. You know, we were going blow for blow. But Lamar Jackson is just a slippery little guy, like squid, able to get in tight corners and burst out. We have a good roster. Can we make a splash? Yes, because we're 6-7, and with the Seahawks losing to the 49ers, we're right behind. We're second in our division. So we could theoretically come in as a wild card. But there's a lot of teams with 6-7 because I think the 49ers are the first team to clinch because the Packers lost to the Giants. I think we can get into the wild card for sure. Especially with like you in NFC South with Buccaneers, Falcons, and Saints all being 6-7, Packers being 6-7, Rams being 6-7, and Seahawks being 6-7. It's literally, these games are so crucial. Any game can be a turning point for the whole league, for the NFC at least. But I mean, everyone knows it's the Niners. Well, who are we kidding? But you never know. You never know. Now let me talk about the thing I've really been wanting to talk about. Okay, to finish off, say the Rams, we're good. We can make it. We can make a splash. Let me talk about Cam Newton and what he recently said in his podcast and his YouTube channel via 4th and 1. Cam Newton says Brock Purdy, Jared Goff, Tua, Tua, and Dak Prescott are game managers, not difference makers. Listen to him personally.
Tua Tagovailoa, Jared Goff, and really, Dak Prescott. These are game managers. They're not difference makers.
When you say game manager, I'm not asking you to go out and win the game. I'm just asking you not to lose.
Not to lose the game. Exactly. Listen, I don't give a damn what you do. You don't have to score every time. You just don't have to throw a pick every time either. If we're going to really call a spade, there's a difference between managers of the game and difference makers of a game.
That was Cam Newton on his podcast saying these guys are quarterback. They're game managers. I think it's absolutely hilarious. I think it's actually pretty funny. And a little sad because obviously he hasn't been seeing football because he just hears the names and he hears the names, but he remembers the names from the past. And a little sad because I'm pretty sure he's saying this. Now, I could be wrong, but this is my gut feeling. And also a couple of analysts said this on ESPN, that the reason why he's kind of still saying this because he thinks he should still be in NFL. He should still be in some roster. And he at least feels that he can beat out a couple of starting quarterbacks. And we all kind of have a feeling what teams he's talking about. But nevertheless, let's just show. I'm gonna actually throw some stats because ESPN was very generous to show us some stats. So in quarterback rankings, right, and touchdowns this season, Dak Prescott is leading the league with number one with 28 touchdowns. Brock Purdy with 25 touchdowns, Tua with 24 touchdowns, and Jared Goff with 21 touchdowns. Now, Dak is number one. Purdy is number two, tied with Josh Allen. Tua is number four, and Jared Goff is number eight. Top 10 players, top 10 quarterbacks in the top 10. Now, let's see who has thrown the most yards. Number one is Tua with 3,697. Number three, Brock Purdy with 3,553. Number six, Jared Goff with 3,449. And Dak Prescott, number four, with 3,505. Those are most yards thrown. Now, completion percentage. Brock Purdy, tied with number one, with 70.2%. Tua with 70%. Tua was number two. Dak, number four, with 69.3%. And number eight, Goff, with 66.9%. Bro, those are not game managers. And we all know who are the game managers. Everyone knows who are the game managers. And for Cam to come out and be on his little rant, bro, you're going... this is exactly what he did. He did a controversial or a hot topic, and it caught fire, and people are talking about Cam Newton. Now, I think this kind of hurts Cam Newton a little because it kind of shows his arrogance, maybe. That this shows that he is still, air quotes, on immature or just not a professional. Kind of like Colin Kaepernick, I heard on TikTok or something like that, or on the news, that Colin Kaepernick was suing his parents. His adopted parents, because his adopted parents allegedly withheld his black heritage from him, and that hurt his persona. So I don't know. Colin is doing this stuff to still be relevant. Cam is still doing this stuff to be relevant. Like, I do believe Cam Newton was ahead of his time, or maybe he was the founder for these running quarterbacks, right? But these guys are not game managers. Zach Wilson's a game manager. Zach Wilson's like, do not lose the ball. Cost us the football game. The Falcons quarterback. You know? Um, the Buccaneers quarterback. There's a quarterbacks who are, I agree, game managers, but for Cam Newton to target the number two MVP race in Brock Purdy, Tua never gets the love because of Tyreek. Everyone knows how good Tyreek is, and everyone sees that when Tyreek's out, Tua ain't shit, right? So he's going after a big name with doesn't get enough respect. Jared Goff, he's always had this like stereotype that he can't get it done. And Dak Prescott, obviously, he's going to go up the top dog in the most profitable team worth $9 billion in the league. And as much as I hate Dak, as much as I hate Cowboy fans because every year they say they're going to Super Bowl, Dak has been balling out. Now, granted, have they had like four bye weeks because of the teams they played? Yes. I've seen his passes. I've seen his movement. I've seen his persona. I've seen how he plays. I've seen how when he runs, when to run, when to throw, when to get out of the pocket and throw. The Cowboys are winning with Dak Prescott. They're not winning due to Dak Prescott. They're winning because of Dak Prescott. The 49ers are the Niners because of Brock Purdy. The Lions are the Lions because of Goff. The Dolphins are the Dolphins because Tua. Because guess what, Cam? At the end of the day, someone has to throw the ball. And I'm pretty sure if you plug any other quarterback into, and I feel like Cam wants to say that you put me in that situation, I will easily be balling out. So does that make you also a game manager, Cam? So obviously this is clearly and obviously incorrect from Cam Newton. And it was just outrageous for me. It was just kind of funny. But let's wrap it up, ladies and gentlemen, with the solo podcast of Week 15 preview. NFL starting off with Thursday Night Football, Chargers at Raiders. I want to take the Raiders. I don't trust Brandon Staley, and especially just since Justin Herbert's out, I don't trust him. Well, then they could get caught off guard with the backup quarterback, but I'm still taking the Raiders. Vikings at Saturday games. Woo, Saturday. Vikings at Bengals. I'm taking the Bengals. Yeah, that quarterback from Bengals, he's making money. Steelers at Colts. Colts, Gardner Minshew lives. And we finish Saturday with Broncos at Lions. Ooh, I'm taking the Broncos. I'm taking the Broncos. Lions losing to the Bears? Come on, bro. Come on. You can't do that. You can't do that. You can't be the brand new Lions and then lose to the Packers on Thursday on Thanksgiving Day and then lose to the Lions. You can't do that. Giants at Saints. I'm taking the Giants. I like Tommy boy over there in New York. Even though they're playing New Orleans, I like Tommy and his agent. Bears at Browns. Browns, Joe Flacco, he is Phoenix. He has resurrected himself. Falcons at Panthers. Falcons, ain't no way in hell. People are already speculating the rumors that Bryce Young might be the biggest bust. I'm like, calm down. Peyton Manning threw the most interception in his first year. Buccaneers at Packers. Packers. We'll see Jordan Love. We got to see more. Jets at Dolphins. Dolphins. Chiefs at Patriots. Damn, it's a lot of 10-8. A lot of 1 p.m. games. Chiefs. I don't see how. If they lose to the Patriots, they never won back-to-back. But Bill's pissed off, so I'd love to see a pissed off Bill versus a broken Chiefs team. They're not broken, but we'll see. Texans at Titans. Titans, I mean, Will Levis was like, you like that? Are you not impressed? Texans had a weekend against the Jets. Give me the Texans. 49ers at Cardinals. Pass. Everyone knows that answer. Commanders at Rams. Rams. Cowboys at Bills. Ooh. Give me the Bills. So it's the Bills Mafia. That's a different type of beast. That cold over there. Sunday Night Football. Ravens at Jaguars. Ravens. It's going to be a high-scoring game. I feel it's going to be a high-scoring game. Ravens. And we finish with Monday Night Football, Eagles at Seahawks. Hey. Eagles are beat up, but can't. But Seahawks are. You know what? Give me the Seahawks. Yeah, give me the Seahawks. That high-scoring game against the Cowboys, they showed me they could put points. Eagles, their secondary is wounded. And I give me the Seahawks. I'm taking the Seahawks. But that's it, guys. Oh, what an amazing podcast. Under the hour. Thank you so much for listening, guys. And we'll catch you in the next one. Adios. Peace.